I know immediately that somebody has been thinking, I'm sure, every time Daryl runs up there, I'm just waiting for him to buy the farm and hit his face, right? Be honest. Well, it's happened before, just not here yet. But good morning. Well, I want you to take your Bible and turn again to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And in order to get this message started, I want to go ahead and tell you I'm going to need a little bit of help in just a moment. I want to get you to respond to me. I'm going to give you a name, and then I want you to respond with immediately what you know you're supposed to respond with. The word or the term alter ego typically means a second personality or an alternative personality. In Webster's dictionary, an alter ego is defined as a second self or a different version of oneself. Now, whenever I say the name Clark Kent, you think of? That was pretty good. If I say Bruce Wayne, you say? That's still a little weak. If I say Peter Parker, you say? All right. And it's going to get a little harder now. If I say Tony Stark, Bruce Banner, Logan, it's all coming from the young people. And what's interesting is most of these characters are from when you were children. Now, very few of you may know this one, T'Challa. All right, the Black Panther, a new superhero. And whenever we think of these characters, these superhero characters, we often think of their alter ego. We think of mild-mannered Clark Kent becomes Superman when he steps out of a phone booth. I think that in some ways, some people often act like being a Christian is an alter ego rather than the reality of who they are. And what I want to do this morning is continue this series of messages that I started called The Saving Life of Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, I want you to read this verse with me, and I want you to let it become a memory verse for you. It's a very easy verse, and I have to look closely because I memorized it in the King James Version 35 years ago, and now every time I try to quote it in NASB or ESV, I get confused. So I want you to read this aloud with me, if you will. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Last week, we began by talking about what it means to be in Christ, how you are in a new position. Today, we're going to continue with the next phrase. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature in New American Standard Version, but it can also be translated, he is a new creation. And what I want to do is I want to help you to understand that the Bible makes it very clear that if you really are a believer in Jesus Christ, that Christian is not an alter ego of something that you are at other times and in other places, but that if you are in Jesus Christ, then you are in Christ always, everywhere, and at all times. And for all of these graduating seniors in high school, what I really want to emphasize for you today is when you get to college, I hear all of these statistics of how, well, you know, college ruins kids' faith. The truth of the matter is that college does not ruin your faith. College reveals the reality of your faith. Because if you truly are in Christ, then you really are a new creation. And what the Apostle Paul does is that Paul testifies to the Corinthians that in Christ, they are a testimony to the saving power of God. And here's what I want you to understand, that if you are in Christ, You are a testimony to God's power to save and change a person's life. And what I hope will happen is that at the end of this message, every single one of us would realize that what God is calling us to do is not only to stand out as a believer in Jesus Christ, but God is also telling us to stand up as a believer in Jesus Christ. And when you guys get to the college campuses of your choice, or whether it's in the military, and I'm rejoicing at those that are going on a gap year as a part of our strategic plan called Saturate to do ministry alongside ministry partners, but wherever you go, ultimately, God wants you to be who you claim to be, and He wants you to both stand out, but He wants you to also stand up for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have some good news this morning. It is my good intention to get you out of here either early or right on time. Can I get a hallelujah on that? It is Mother's Day, and you will beat the Methodists and Presbyterians to lunch today. So, maybe. No, I have two things that I want to share with you this morning. When we come to this phrase, if any person, any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, there are two things that you need to understand. First of all, the Bible says that this is a wonder to behold. I want you to understand that if you have repented of your sin and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God intends for you to be a wonder to behold. Now, where do we get that? There are two Greek words that are used for the word new. There's neos, N-E-O-S, which is a word that means new in time. For example, you have a 2010 pickup truck, and then you go out and you buy a 2011 pickup truck, same model, same brand, same amenities. Well, between a 2010 and a 2011, there aren't enough changes in body style or anything else that they pretty much look like the same truck. It's just that one is newer than the other one. That's the word neos. It means new in time. But there's a second word in the Greek language, and that is the word kainos. And that word is very different because it doesn't mean new in time. It's a word that literally means new in quality, something that has not been seen before. Kainos comes from the root probably ken, which means freshly come or begun. It refers to that which is new in kind. It's interesting when J. Phillips Arthur says, "What is a Christian?" He responds, "What can we say about someone who is in Christ? Is he little more than an unbeliever with a kind of moral facelift? Are the differences between saved and unsaved people merely cosmetic, or do they go deeper?" Paul would have us understand that Christians are not people with one or two superficial changes, but new people altogether. Each one is a new creation. Everything about them is different. So when the Bible uses the word new, and it says if any person is in Christ, they are a new. It's not new in time. It is new in qualitative difference. They are entirely different. Salvation is not turning a new leaf, but receiving a new life in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul uses this word for new again in verse 24. And put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. He uses the same word again in Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. In other words, a Christian should be something that is a wonder to behold. It shouldn't be when someone sees someone who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ, they go, one of them. What they really ought to go is, man, they are different. I think one of the great challenges to parents today is too many parents are so concerned that their kid fits in with the culture and their peers. God never intended for a Christian to fit in. And I realize it's hard not fitting in. I grew up a military brat, moving 9 times by the time I was 14. And I can tell you something. I know what it's like to be the new kid, to be different than anybody else. As a matter of fact, when my brother and I went to Excelsior Middle School in Pueblo, Colorado, when I was in the 7th and part of my 8th grade year, we were one of the few Anglo kids in that school. We were the minority. I know what it's like to go to a new place, try to make new friends and want to fit in and all of those things. The problem is, parents, when you want your kid to be like everybody else, you are not telling them to understand that if they are in Christ, they are qualitatively different than anybody who is not a believer, and God wants them to both stand up and stand out as something that is a wonder to behold. Listen to Romans chapter 8, what Paul says in verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, we know that the word transformed here in Romans 12, 2 is the word for the word we get, metamorphosis, metamorphosai. And in this Greek word, the word means a change. It's what we understand a butterfly goes from a caterpillar to a butterfly, something totally different. And when you are in Christ, it's not that Christianity is an alter ego that you put on when you go to church. And parents, can I give you a word of warning? When your kid goes away to college and then they don't get involved in church and they begin to tell you things like, well, I don't like the college ministry, or I don't like this, or I don't like that, the first thing you need to do is ask them about sin issues in their life. Because every college kid I know that goes off and begins to live in a sinful lifestyle always begins to blame somebody else for why they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. You need to sit down and talk with your kid about, let's talk about your walk with Christ. Let's talk about whether or not you're living promiscuously. Let's talk about whether you're becoming a drunkard or a druggie or whatever you're doing. Because ultimately, listen to me, your kid's issue is not what they like. The kid's issue is who they love. Right? Paul said, if any man is in Christ, he is a new kind of being. He is something that is not new in time, but new in qualitative difference. Young people, listen to me. God is sending you to those campuses that you're being sent to because God has a plan for you to stand up and stand out, because there are peers that desperately need the Lord Jesus Christ, and your life and your testimony will be evidence that they see and that they're drawn to and that they need to know Jesus Christ. David Douglas, sitting to my right, our recreation pastor, has a testimony of growing up without church, not knowing anything about God or the Bible, didn't care about any of it, but it was a fellow athlete that modeled Jesus before him, that truly was a new creature. Isn't that right, David? That made a difference and drew you to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. New. Your life, if you're in Christ, should be a wonder to behold. Now, I didn't say perfect, but it ought to be different than the way the rest of the world lives. See, the problem is we've made Christianity this thing about behavior modification and adhering to codes and moral systems. And the truth of the matter is that oftentimes we as Christians fail miserably in that. And if our Christianity is only defined by what we do or don't do, then we miss the essence of what it means to be born again. Because Paul says, if you are in Christ, you are in a new position. You were lost, now you're saved. You were damned, and now you're justified. You were separated from God, but now you are in a position of relationship with God. But now, not only are you in a new position, but he says you are a new person. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. I'll never forget going back to my 10-year high school reunion. Vicki and I walked in, and people said, "What are you doing, Daryl?" "I'm a pastor of a Baptist church." Okay. Really? I'd been changed. But not only does he say it's a wonder to behold, but listen to this second thing. It is a work of God. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. What's interesting is that the word here for creature or creation is a word that refers to bringing something into existence which has not existed before. I like what John Wesley said about this. He said, "The only power that makes a world can make a Christian." And what Paul was saying to the Corinthians in this passage, he's been talking about what it means to be made new in Christ. He says in verse 16, "Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. All these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." All of this comes to us because it's according to what the prophet Joel said in the Old Testament, salvation is of the Lord. You don't save yourself. It's Christ who saves us. And so when Paul says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation, he's saying not only is it a wonder to behold because this is something new that has never been seen before, but this is also a creative work of Almighty God. It's not simply reforming our ways. It's not simply changing our attitudes. It's God taking a heart of stone and removing it and putting a new heart within us. We're not simply renewed men. We are new men. So not only is this a wonder to behold, but it's a work completely of God. Spurgeon writes, "We are not saved by evolution, but by creation." The Greek word that's used here is used in other places in the scripture, and it refers to the act of creating, God's creative action. Listen to John 1, verses 12 and 13. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." If you are in Christ, the saving work of Jesus through the power of his Holy Spirit regenerates you and gives you the very life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you're not simply an improved version of yourself. It's not like you were Bruce Wayne and suddenly you're Batman that's got all these cool gadgets that make you super strong and smart and techno savvy and all that kind of thing. By the way, I still like the old Batman, comics. I'd prefer those than the new stuff. Tells you how old I am. And sometimes what we think is, well, when I become a Christian, I'm just a better version of myself. No, you're not. You're brand new in Jesus Christ. That's the good news. Listen to what the Bible continues to tell us in Galatians 6. Verse 15, "For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new," and same Greek word used here in this verse as is used in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "but a new creation." Paul said in Colossians 2, "Therefore, as you have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. You and I receive Christ. We don't earn Christ. We don't do anything to make Christ ours. The only thing we do is repent and believe, and that is not a work of man. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin, draws us to Jesus, and when we see ourselves for who we are, we humble ourselves before him, we repent, we put our faith in Jesus Christ, and the Bible says we are born again into a new hope and given new life. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Ephesians 2:10 says it like this: "We are his workmanship, created," same word, "in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." The word workmanship is a poetic word. It means masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus. God created us in giving us this new life. One story that tells of this is Augustine. St. Augustine in his younger years lived a very licentious life, a very immoral life, indulged in many, many sins. And after his conversion, he met a woman who had been the sharer in his wicked follies. She approached Augustine wanting to be winsome and said, "Augustine," but he ran away from her with all speed. By the way, young people, that's a good trick. If you'd learn it, you don't stay close to sin and argue with it. You get two legs and you run. Amen? It's not just good for the young people. It's good for old people too. But he ran away from her with all speed. She called after him, "Augustine, Augustine, it is I." And he turned around to that young woman, and here's what he said: "But it is not I." He meant, "I am in Christ. I am a brand new creation. I am different. I am not the same as I once was." I love the song that C.C. Winans sang years ago called "The Alabaster Box." It's a story of Mary when she broke the alabaster box and poured it out on the feet of Jesus and wiped her tears on his feet with her hair. In that song, these words are powerful. "I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. And I spent my days, poured my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I had found. Until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my soul with wonder of his touch." And when Paul writes and he says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Paul is saying, it is not only a wonder to behold, but it is a work of Almighty God. It's God that does it. It's God that saves you. It's God that changes you. And what happens is when you've met the immeasurable grace of Almighty God, you can't get beyond what Jesus Christ has done in your life. And I'm telling you, you want to stand out and stand up because you've been born again by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and you are not the same as you once were. And it ought to cause us to want to stand up. And it ought to want to cause us to stand out. Now, I realize that things are not always as we wish that they were. I realize that when we've been made new in Christ, that we're a work in progress. We are growing in grace. We are growing to be more like Jesus Christ. I'm grateful for Revelation 21:5. He who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Aren't you glad God's not going to leave things the way that they are? But one day, everything is going to be made what? New. And I want to tell you something. It's going to be a wonder to behold. And it's going to be a work that only God does through the power of his Son when he comes. I think about people in the Bible. I think about the Apostle Paul. I think Paul, who had been a murderer and a lech and a mean individual, he was Saul, and God made him Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. And then there was Peter, impetuous Peter, who was Simon, that God made into Peter, who would be the apostle to the Jews. I think about the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 who encountered Jesus at the well, and Jesus said, "Look, I've got living water that will never stop flowing from your innermost being." And she said, "Lord, give me some of that water." He said, "Go call your husband." She said, "I don't have a husband." He said, "That's right. You've had a lot of husbands, and the man with whom you are with right now is not your husband." And what did Jesus do? Jesus didn't leave her the way that he found her. He changed her life. He made her a new creation in Christ. And the woman at the well became brand new in Jesus. Aren't you glad he makes all things new? What about Mary in Luke chapter 7, verse 37, a similar story to this woman who anointed the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says she was a sinful woman. I got to tell you, Darrell Kraft was a sinful young man. But thanks be to God, on that Friday night when Jesus reached down from heaven, drew me to himself, and I repented and believed, the Bible said I was born again and I am in Christ and I am no longer the same. If any man is in Christ, he is a wonder to behold. Why? Because he is a work of Almighty God. What about Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, that wee little man? Shimmied up that tree so that he could see the Lord coming his way. He had been a selfish skinflint, cheating people out of their money, doing everything that he could. He got right with God, and Jesus changed an old sinful man with a simply selfish heart and made him a generous individual. Why? Because it wasn't the same Zacchaeus that climbed up that tree. He was a brand new person in the Lord Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus. So I want you to do two things this morning. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. I want you to do some self-examination. Am I in Christ? Is my Christianity behavior modification? Is it I try to live a moral life? Or is it the reality that I have been born again because I've turned from sin and put my trust and faith in Jesus Christ and he's changed me? If you're not a Christian, this morning we'd like to introduce you to how you can repent and believe on Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, I want to encourage you. Spurgeon also said this: if God did the greater work of salvation, will he not do the lesser work and grow you into perfection? Young people, I'm encouraging you. I look across this room and I see you right there, and I see how incredible you are. And when you step out into this role of young adulthood and you now begin to take ownership of your faith in a way that's new to you, you've got the opportunity to clarify, examine yourself, am I in Christ? And if you are, I want to encourage you, wherever God takes you, to stand up and to stand out for the glory of Almighty God. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. In a moment, when we give the altar call, I want to ask you, if you're not in Christ, if you don't know the Lord, to come and let us talk with you about what it means to be a Christian. There's pastors at the balcony level, pastors across the front. If you're here this morning and you say, "Darrell, I want to come pray with my senior or another student," you just bring your kids to the altar and you pray over them, if that's what God leads you to do. Nobody has to do that. But if you're here today and maybe you say, "Darrell, I need to join this church or make some other decision or just pray at the altar," I want you to come as the Lord leads you to come. I want God to help you to stand up and to stand out for his glory. Let's stand. God, I pray that your Spirit will lead us and guide us as we sing, and that, Lord, you would work powerful miracles in our life right now. God, use this and help us to be in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's sing together, and you come right now.